Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the passage we just heard, we see how Christ fulfills his promise to Israel. To Abraham, God had promised that his descendants will be a numerous people, that Canaan will be his, and that in his seed all peoples shall be blessed. Now, at this point of the history of Israel, Abraham's descendants had become a great people, the Israelites. And now, hundreds of years after that promise, they were to get the second part. They were to come about into the land after the exodus from Egypt and after 40 years in the desert. It would take more than another millennium that the third part of the promise of Abraham would be fulfilled, till the times were fulfilled and Christ the Savior came. God has time, and his promises come true, even if generations and generations pass away. But in the end, God's word is proven right, because God is faithful, and he is the Lord of history, even though oftentimes he is hidden to our eyes when we look at history. God had brought the people of Israel out of Egypt by miracles, and he had led them safely through the Red Sea. The moment they seemed to perish, the moment they seemed to be in a trap, that this was the dead end of destruction, God opened a way out of the danger and destroyed their enemies. Now, after 40 years of wanderings in the desert, they stand at the border of the promised land. And the only obstacle between the promised land and them is the River Jordan, which is flooded in spring with the melted snow coming down from Mount Hermon. Though the Jordan is not a big river, in this condition, it is a sizable obstacle for people with children and sheep and goats. Think of our rivers here in Fort Wayne. They're not quite as impressive as when you go down to St. Louis and see the mighty Mississippi. They're tiny or puny. But when we have one of our not really uncommon floods here in town, you would not want to cross the river without a bridge. But they come to Jordan, and there is no bridge. There isn't even a ford. There is nothing for them, no safe passage. But God, who has brought them so far, will overcome also this obstacle. He gives Joshua detailed instructions how the children of Israel were to proceed. The priests will carry the Ark of the Covenant. They go first, and in a distance, so that everybody can still see them, and that the ark is not lost in the crowd, the people will follow. And as soon as the priest's feet touch the water, the flow of the river will stop. The water will stand like a wall north of their passage at the city of Adam. The priests then stay in the middle of the river till all the people, all the sheep, all the goats, all their belongings will have passed. The Ark of the Covenant is central for this miracle because it is the sign of God's gracious presence. It is, after all, God who does this miracle, and it is through his power alone that Israel passes the river safely. Some people speculate if there was some kind of gigantic mudslide upstream or how that could happen. That is simply beside the point. How God accomplished that miracle? Who cares? The important point is that he accomplished a miracle, that he stands to his word, and that he fulfills his promises. He is the Lord over the powers of nature, and everything must serve his plan and the fulfillment of his promise. The history of Israel has often been compared with the Christian life. Israel leaves Egypt, so we leave the kingdom of the evil one. Israel passed through the Red Sea. So at the beginning of the Christian life, there is baptism. Israel wandered through the desert, a place full of temptations, a place where the people grumbled, were dissatisfied, but also a place where God continually forgives, a place where God stands to his promises. And now they're standing at the inheritance. Now the promised land is right ahead of them. And so for the Christian, death is the passing over into the promised land. As the waters of swollen Jordan seem to be a barrier you can't pass, a frightful trap, so death seems to be all there is, something that is just there to devour you. And you can see the promised land behind death. As Israel can only pass into the promised land by God's mighty help, so we can pass through the terror of death only through God's help. As the Ark of the Covenant is there, as the sign and the medium of God's gracious presence, so word and sacrament are the means by which Christ escorts us through death into the inheritance promised to the children of God. As the Israelites were to look at the Ark of the Covenant, so we are to look at the promise God has given to us in Christ in that situation. This is important for us, since sooner or later we all will have to face death, and death is the final affliction. Death is not overcome by ignoring it or some kind of resignation. Well, it's just a part of life. You have to wade through it. And the only safe way to wade through it is with your eyes fixed on Jesus, who is in front of you and has the power to make way where we can see no way, so that we can go in peace. It is beyond that also important for any future pastor, since a central task of his vocation is to be with the dying. He can help people who are about to cross the Jordan to give them a good death. The phrase might seem strange to you, but in former times there was an entire genre of devotional books that helped to a good death. They even talked about the Ars Moriendi, the art of dying. What's a good death? A good death is a death that crosses the floods of death safely into the promised land. And only when we put Christ in his promise before people's eyes, Christ who parts the water that seems to be without a ford, then these people can face death with courage and peace. It is one of the great tasks and the great joys of being a pastor, to go with people on their last mile, to bring to them Christ so that they have a safe passage into their inheritance that has been promised to them. It might seem to be a smaller thing than what happened in our story. You're not called to part the waters of St. Joseph, but you are called to part or bring Christ who parts the waters of death. And it is a greater thing than parting the waters of St. Joseph's River, because it's the power over death itself that is present here. It is God's grace that he gives us Christ, who parts the waters of death for us, and it is God's grace that includes us in this work and makes us his messengers. Amen.